Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the 420 Hump Day Edition. How you doing, Big Fancy?
Fantastic. Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays to you. It's a celebratory holiday, at least up around here. Got Evan helping me in the world headquarters here in Madison, Wisconsin. And, buddy, you know I'm hitting the road soon. Yeah. I'm going down to one of our fine sponsors that also think that this is the biggest day of the year, at least on their calendar. Knuckleheads, 520 State Street at 420. On 420, yours truly will be at Knuckleheads. I've already gone down. We've tested the gear, man. I'm all ready for a fine broadcast from Knuckleheads. I'll be in the humidor.
Oh, really?
Well, they're doing so much commerce in there today that, you know, you hate to be out amongst the broader public, just because there's a lot of them, man. They're celebrating. There are some great deals going on. So anyways, we'll do a little commerce at 420. Also, I got a fine congressman, my congressman, our good friend Mark Pocan, joining me at 3:30, just a little while from now, 3:30 Central, if you're not listening, in Wisconsin. And, we talked about the fact it's 420. I'm going to a party down on State Street. Dom will join us at 5. We'll communicate remotely. And I'm also going to bring you a Democratic message to believe in, man. Finally got a message the Democrats can believe in. And this one brought to my attention by Evan, our fine producer here in Madison. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But here's a thought. Here's where I'm going to start. And Evan, I want to see that sound on the rundown because I want to get there soon. What I want to start with today: Democrats are hostage to the myth of their ideas' unpopularity. But you know what? Democrats, we got good ideas, man. Here's what I mean. Paul Waldman at the Washington Post. Well, I'm going to skip some of this. I'm just going to put Crudy's spin on it. Here's what Waldman means to say. Did you notice the news last night? The mask mandates have been lifted mid-flight. And what do we see? We see cheering people. I even think I saw someone playing Celebration on the flights. And people are making TikTok and Cameo videos. Maybe not Cameo. Unless it's Rudy trying to earn a few bucks back in coach. But that's not necessarily the way the American people felt about this. Know what I'm saying? I wasn't celebrating. Tom wasn't celebrating. Fancy, were you? I don't think were celebrating per se.
I'm going on a flight next week, two of them, to Florida.
I'm going to read a little bit of context here from the Post. In the wake of a move by a single activist, Trump judge talked about that a lot yesterday, to end the federal mask mandate on mass transit, we saw media footage of people cheering on planes and trains, tossing aside their masks and reveling in the freedom that they've so long been denied. Clearly, this must mean that Americans think this was long overdue and that the public health officials are authoritarian scolds who want to crush our pulmonary liberty. Except actually, that's not true. Polls show that while some people feel that way, most Americans have a more measured view of this question. A Politico Morning Consult poll taken just before the decision showed that 59% to 32% Americans favored the extension of the mass transit mask mandate. In addition, 49% said it was too soon to remove it. Just 27% said they should have already been removed or should never have been imposed in the first place. So tyrannical. Likewise, an Associated Press in our NORC, Center for Public Affairs research poll found 56% to 24% Americans favored requiring people to wear masks on mass transit. So why is it that Republicans act like they're the ones with the public on their side? Well, Democrats act timid and ashamed. We're ashamed. As though the voters are bound to reject them if too much attention is drawn to the position they've taken. It's not just on the mask issue. Republicans probably can't believe how successful they've been at propagating myths, including that Americans are utterly freaked out about crime and blame liberals for it, that they're venomously anti-immigrant and want only to build walls and deport immigrants, and that they want schools and libraries to pull controversial books from the shelves. All those things might be true of the Republican base, but the Republican base is not the country, any more than the angry dude bro screaming at a flight attendant because he was asked to wear a mask represents the feelings of most Americans. As we head towards the midterm elections, we're going to see those myths reinforced in all kinds of ways. So, for instance, over at Politico, they got another article about swing state Rep. Abigail Spanberger, Dem from Virginia, and her apparent obsession with the defund the police, a thing some activists said a couple of years ago. The message is clear. In the place where real Americans live, people are enraged with out-of-touch liberals and their crazy ideas. And the only way Democrats can survive is moving right. Now, Waldman points out, crime is a genuine problem. It has gone up in the past couple of years. But in the latest Gallup poll on this subject, a grand total of 1% of people said crime is the most important issue facing the country. Freaking 1%! To reiterate, part of the reason swing district Democrats are consumed with the beliefs of voters who will never vote for them is that they're inevitably encountered, many of them, at the county fair, at the local diner, at the senior center. If half your district is made up of people from the other party, you'll spend a lot of time listening to them when they march up and give you a piece of their mind. These members then get griped by the false belief that they can only win if they appeal to the voters who, to repeat, are never going to vote for them anyways. This belief then gets reinforced by the media, which loves to write about how voters hate Democrats and the things they stand for. To be clear, the odds are that Democrats will suffer a loss in November. But if history is any guide, that loss will be wildly misinterpreted. There's a chance it might not happen. Politics is unpredictable. At the moment, the generic ballot, you want to vote for a Dem or a Republican in the House. That generic ballot's got Republicans up 2 points. Wow, 2 points. That might change in one direction or the other by November, but it hardly represents some kind of tsunami inevitability on the way. Nevertheless, we know what happens in off-year elections. The party controlling the White House almost always loses, both because independent voters take out whatever disgruntlement they have on the president, and because the opposition voters tend to be angry and agitated. Yeah, they're certainly that. While the ruling party's voters are often disappointed and passive. Yet when Democrats are the ones who suffered the loss, it's inevitably interpreted as a single, unified, ideological rejection of them. The voters will be told, said President Biden, and the Democrats are too liberal. I don't believe that. A little bit more here. Democrats are already writing that story, hoping that focusing on kitchen table issues will save them. If they're even trying to get their own base motivated to go to the polls, it's impossible to tell which party is more aggressive when it comes to schools or public safety or the pandemic or immigration or just about anything. The Republicans, of course, they act like everyone is on their side, and that attitude convinces the media to assume that they must be right. And Democrats get more fearful, more cautious, and more obsessed with finding the non-existent center, which makes it even more likely that they'll freaking lose.
When was the last time you heard anybody from the right moving left?
Never.
Or ever being urged to move left so they can get more voters?
Closest thing I ever heard to that concept, Mitt Romney's campaign staffer said they were going to Etch-a-Sketch their way back to the center after the primaries. I've heard that notion expressed only through the plastic man candidacy that was Mitt Romney. And he was not appealing to Republicans either, right? They didn't elect the guy.
They still don't like him.
There is a young lady, young politician, young Democrat, and she may lead the way going forward, Fancy Brian. We've got some sound we're going to share in the next segment. But Greg Sargent, again from the Washington Post, a young Democrat's fire. Let me try that again. It is 420 after all, people. Give me a break.
I mean, you're doing a great job. I'm applauding you.
No, you're not. A young Democrat's viral takedown demands a wokeness rethink. You ever hear that term, woke? The Dems are woke. Well, wokeness is a problem, and we all know it. James Carville recently told Vox in his, splendific way, the veteran strategist called on Democrats to distance themselves from faculty lounge bull. And you know what he said. And to undo their image as urban, coastal, arrogant party. I don't really do a Louisiana, but as far as like the Carolinas side.
Faculty lounge of people who hang out with kids all day who talk about the culture all day. They don't know anything. Anyway.
Well, in this case, there's a point to be made, and it's not to fight over the details. This was widely treated as a breakthrough moment in a debate over whether Democrats have a wokeness problem. It was approvingly quoted not by one, but two major New York Times writers. So I contacted Carville to ask him what he thought of Mallory McMurrow. And I'd never heard of this woman. And she is a Democrat from Michigan. And I had to give all the credit to my fine producer, Evan. He brought this woman's impassioned statement to my attention. We're going to play it for you in the next segment. You want to hear what a winner sounds like? She is a freaking winner. This is what I want to hear all my Democratic friends talking like forevermore. You want to hear a winning strategy? I'm going to lay it out for you. James Carville, he can talk about wokeness, but then he heard this woman speak. And he is as enamored by this speech as I am. So, flag, great flag, Evan. We're going to play it for you, the fair audience, the great audience. The 420 audience, man, we're going to have a good time. And coming very, very soon, my congressman, our good friend, Mark Pocan, he joins us right here on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Some people say greatest radio show ever, because we're going to tell you Democrats what a winner sounds like. And it could be us.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Get the wrong week. Quit sniffing glue.
You like movies about gladiators?
No, thanks. We gave it the office.